just seated. I know my family come back up and sing a few more songs. Pastors, anything else we need before we go into the preaching time? Okay. And so I have my family come back on up and show me what we're going to be doing next. As soon as they show me that, we'll keep going. But it's a great joy. Can I tell you something? There's joy, joy, joy in serving Jesus. There just is. There's just something about, you know, serving Jesus, yes, in the church. And serving the Jesus through the church. But I tell you, a greater joy is to go through those doors and carry Jesus to your neighbors. So I don't know if I can talk to my neighbors. Well, maybe you can't talk to your neighbors because you know your neighbors. Well, go to another block and knock on that block where you don't know anybody. And just think that you're not going for yourself and for who you are. You're going for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To bring him to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that he bled and died for. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, you're just a little pebble." He said, "Upon this rock himself I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know, I could take you to places where other religious folks have come and they have died and where they're laid and they're buried. But my friend, I could take you to Jerusalem where my Lord and Savior died, Golgotha, the place of the skull, Calvary, but he's not there. I could take you to that tomb that where they laid him at, whichever one of the three that they say it might be. But the same result is what you'll find, is that he's not there either. Elizabeth's going to sing a song for us. It's simply called, "The Cross Is Now Empty, and So Is the Tomb." Elizabeth.
Turn to joy, for the stone had been moved.
that, we can have great peace. We can have great peace in knowing that he's not in that tomb. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And amen. Well, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives inside my heart. And my friend, he lives because he's not in that tomb. He's rose from the dead. But he's coming back again. They can play with a paper. He's coming again. My friend, he could come today. All the things that he's given us in the scriptures have been fulfilled. I think one of the last things we were waiting for was a red heifer. We have a red heifer. That red heifer's getting pretty old too. The Lord's coming back. And my friend, we need to be listening for the trumpet and going and doing what God's called us to do. I want to be found doing when the trumpet sounds. I want to be found sharing the word of God with somebody when the trumpet sounds. But my friend, he's coming soon. So please, please, listen for the trumpet.
Grab your Bible. I think I'm still got this thing on. I do. And I want to go to 1 Chronicles. Not 1 Corinthians, mind you. Although it's spelled similar, but it's not the same. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 28. First Chronicles chapter number 28. And Pastor, thank you so much for having us in. Thank you for letting me be myself. And singing with you and doing this singing this morning and having that fun singing. Wasn't that fun this morning? It's been fun tonight. What a great joy it has to be in the house of the Lord. I do go to some churches where there's a stuffy shirt pastor who sits on the pulpit behind you and watches everything you do. He's ready to pop up and move you to the side to take over. But I appreciate your pastor, his heart, his spirit, his joy, and though the devil's been upon him infecting his body, he said, as Job has, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Amen. And folks, he's been serving the Lord here for a long time. And you know, many of you have been here a long time, and praise God for it. But I want to encourage you tonight. But before I encourage you, I want to say, Pastor, thank you again for letting us come. Ms. Freeman, thank you so much for sharing with your husband my desire to be able to come and be a blessing and help. Jason, thank you, buddy. Thank you for playing, putting up with me.
Thanks for putting up with me this week.
You're welcome, buddy. And we did. We put up with you, buddy. We put up with you, my friend. Yeah. You and Brother Charlie. And church, thank you for your friendship and your kindness to the Holtz Clones. But if you haven't already stopped by our table, please stop by our table and at least pick up one of our prayer cards. They're free. Okay, they're free. Take it home and pray for the Holtzclaw family. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are able to do what we do because of the faithful prayers of God's people. I mean that. We see accidents all the time. We see pieces of vehicle on the side of the road. I cannot tell you how many deer we have seen on the side of the road. And if you see a dead deer on the side of the road, you know that something had to have hit it. We have, praise God, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, that we haven't hit a deer in these 6 years on the road. And we have a long journey still ahead of us if the Lord tarries. We pray the Lord tarries for one reason, one reason only. Another songwriter wrote, for just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. That's why we do this. For one more soul to come home. It'll be worth every breath, every mile, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. So tonight I want to encourage you in the Lord a little bit. It's a little fun message as I get into it, but you'll see the point. Yes, I'll be down there in just a minute, Miss Holtzclaw, for my little tiny bottle of water that I refilled myself, mind you. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28 and verse number 20. Let's dive right on in for the sake of time. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until, the crutch of my message, thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. You know, we all have a job to do, to finish and to work and working for the service of the house of the Lord. So let's finish strong tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us again. What a great joy it's been to be in church, your church. And dear Lord, I'm so glad I'm in it. And a church plant. And dear Lord, with the church planter, the pastor that helped us start this work that you blessed with in a storefront. And dear Lord, moving. And dear Lord, how the wonderful story, how he prayed and how God opened the door and dear Lord even paid for this place, this building. And dear Lord, I pray now you'll bless it. And again, dear Lord, fill it. Fill it, dear Lord, with your honor and glory. But may we, your faithful children, be faithful in finishing the work you've set before us. Lord, we love you. I pray you be with this preacher tonight. Help me to be faithful and to finish, dear Lord, tonight the message that you've given my heart to your people. Lord, we love you. We praise you and pray all this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go to verse number 2 of this wonderful chapter, chapter number 28. It gives us an idea of what's going on here. It says in verse 1, and David assembled all the princes of Israel and princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies and that ministered to the king by chorus, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance. And and possession of the king and of his sons and with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. So he's gathering all these guys. Now, you know, so we're reading latter in Chronicles. This is the latter part of David's life. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building." I'm sure Pastor has shared with you, and I'm sure others might have, talking about the tabernacle in the wilderness when Moses received the directions from God, even got to take a look at what the tabernacle looked like to be able to build the portable tabernacle, which the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord dwelt. And there the people of Israel would follow that, and where God would come down and the Shekinah glory would come and dwell, and where the sacrifices were made there in that tabernacle in the wilderness. David had a desire to build a concrete one. So he made ready for all this. Verse 3. "But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war," and he has been, "and hast shed blood." Remember Bathsheba and all that? He shed blood. "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he had chosen Judah to be the ruler and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father. He liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day," he says. So he keeps reading on. "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." The following verses, David now reads to Solomon the list of the items that he has gathered. He now explains to Solomon how he wants this tabernacle to be built. And my friend, can I tell you something? The bottom line comes down to Solomon had a task to finish in the building for the house of the Lord. And you and I have a task of finishing all the service for the house of the Lord. He said, "Well, Brother Holtzclaw, we have a wonderful building, a beautiful building situated right in the middle of town, and we're all set." Yes, you're set by way of a building, but a building is not the church. You are the church. This body is the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I just want to encourage you on the fact of we have a job to do, a duty to do, a service to do for the Lord, and finishing, building, filling, doing the work of the Lord. Just like David is instructing Solomon, the Lord has instructed us. And just like David now is turning to his son and sharing with his son what he needs to do in order to build this house of the Lord, I'm sure Solomon in one sense had kind of rocked back on his heels a little bit when he was told that he was going to be the new king. "Hey, Solomon, you're going to be the new king." What? But David does not go into detail about him being a new king. He goes into detail about how he needs to build the house of the Lord. And so when we get down here to the passage of Scripture in verse number 20, David is encouraging Solomon in the building of the house of the Lord. And as I share and I preach to people and I share and I challenge people in their personal going out and witnessing and telling others, telling their loved ones, friends, brothers, uncles, people that you know and people that you don't know. We need to continue to fit and finish strong till the Lord comes. And my friend, as long as there's breath in your body, you, me, us, we all need to be faithful to keep plodding on to finish the course that God has set for us. See, God's given me a big course to jump into and to go and the selling of my house and all that. And that wasn't for me years ago. Years ago for me was to pastor a church. Years ago was to be an assistant pastor. You see, the thing is that God's called us to a task, and God will share with you, and He's already shared with you right now as a member of this church to continue and to finish strong. And I share that with folks, and sometimes I get folks looking back at me like, "You're kidding, right?" I get looks back at me saying, "Brother Holtzclaw, you just don't understand. I taught a Sunday school class for 50 years. It's time for me to take a break." A small one. But to get back at it. "Brother Holtzclaw, when I was young, oh, I was on fire for the Lord." Well, what's going on now with you now? What's going on with you now? And I talk to church planters and talk to young people and older people and trying to encourage them that God's not done with you yet, or God's just now starting with you. So get in there. Get into the fight. Get into the building process. Get into the going process. Get into the service process for the Lord. And I'm still getting those looks. So tonight I want to encourage you as David encouraged his son Solomon. With this passage of Scripture that we read, verse number 20. First of all, he says this. This is my outline if you want to see it. Verse number 1, be strong. Be strong. David says to Solomon, "Solomon, you have a big task in front of you. I want you to be strong." Now, Jason, I don't think David is telling Solomon to go down to Gold's Gym or Planet Fitness or go to GNC and buy that cat's milk down there and to bulk up. Oh, did you hear that rip? Ms. Holtzclaw, we got to buy another suit. It's just. I don't think that's what God's telling David, or David's telling now Solomon to do. David, Solomon, I want you to go out and beef up. I want your biceps to be 30 inches big. I want your triceps to be this. And that's not what he's saying. David is telling Solomon, I want you to be strong in the Lord. I want you to be strong in faith. I want you to be strong in your hope. I want you to be strong in knowing that your God will be there with you. Be strong. There's something about knowing the Lord. There's something about spending time with Him in prayer. There's something about hearing from Him when you're reading the Scriptures. There's just something about knowing that God is with you and God is near. Be strong. Of course, we're living in a day and age with a lot of churches closing. The number on the screen this morning that came up with a number of about 4,700 churches closing across the nation, my friend. Some people tell me those which are higher up in the ministry type of thing, you get the idea. They say that number is more than doubled now. And if the total overall church number is double, I'm sure that our independent fundamental Baptist churches numbers are probably doubled too. And that is sad. Whereas we're losing ground, we're losing churches, and we're losing people because we're not being strong. Because the opposite of being strong is to be weak. And we're weak in faith. And we're weak in what we believe. And we're weak in practice. So David's now encouraging Solomon, be strong. And church, can I encourage you to be strong in the Lord? Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage, which is the next point, isn't it? Be strong in the Lord. Number 2, be of good courage. Be courageous. Is that the next one?
Yes.
Yeah. Be of good courage. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. Courage. I always start with the opposite of this. What is the opposite of courage? Fear. Old cowardly lion of years gone by in movie realm that had a big roar. A cowardly lion. He had a big body and a big mane and all that to have a big roar, but he was just as fraidy cat. And my friend, there's too many of us Christians that are fraidy cats. I can't knock on that door and tell someone about the Lord. I can't talk to my neighbor. I can't talk to the person in line with me. I can't talk to the person sitting on the bench beside me about the Lord. Why? Because I'm afraid. So can I tell you, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. We need some men again.
Amen.
Real men again. We need some real ladies again. I didn't say women. I said ladies. This is old preacher. He's in his 80s, like 83, 84 years old, who's been preaching up in Michigan for years. Many of the independent Baptists know him up there. Brother Don Green. You know, Dr. Green, he's a big guy for that age. And he sat down. I met him for the first time just recently. And I got to talk to him, tell him who I was, what our ministry was. And then he kind of was eating a little bit. And he looked at me. He said, "Oh, Tim." I said, "Yes, sir." I'm listening intently. "I hate women." You hate women? "I hate women. Women will get you in trouble. Women will hurt you. Ladies I like. I like ladies. I don't like women." I got to tell you something. We need some real ladies to stand up for God. Real men to stand up for God and have some courage again. Have some backbone. Put that back straight again. Throw those shoulders back again. Lift that head up high. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to be afraid of. Hey, whose side are you on anyways? Whose team are you on? Whose name do you carry? Aren't you a soldier for the King? Aren't you in the Lord's army? Yes, sir. Then let's look at it and let's go do it and be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. Now this next one's pretty simple. My third point is be doing. David tells Solomon to do it. I think David needs to come back from the dead and sue Nike, the shoe company, who came up with the phrase, "just do it." Can I tell you something? We as Christians need to just do it. We need to do it. Who's going to do it if we don't do it? Oh, the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing it. They're doing it wrong. They're giving a false doctrine. The Mormons are out there. They're doing it, but they're doing it wrong. Secretly and quietly, but yet boldly going out, the Muslims are doing it. And so many others are doing it. But where's the children of God? We just need to do it. You know, one day, Brother Holtzclaw, I'm going to be a good Christian. Well, do be a good Christian now. You know, one day, Brother Holtzclaw, I'm going to really do something for God. Well, my friend, how much more time do you think God's going to give you? Do it now. Do it now. Just do it. I told my wife, I said, "God, honey, there's so many things going on in this world and our churches are struggling. Somebody's got to get out there and help. Someone's got to lend a hand. Someone's got to share with them. Someone's got to cry with them. Someone's got to lift them up and get these young preachers going and get these church plants going and get these men that are struggling in their churches going. Someone's got to do it." She says, "Well, why not you?" Just do it. Just do it. So be strong. He says, be of good courage. Be courageous and do it. Then he says, fear not. That kind of goes along with being courageous and fear not, nor be dismayed. Now the word dismay is kind of along the lines of our same word of discouraged or discouragement. Be not dismayed. Be not discouraged. I tell you something, it's easy to get discouraged when you're out there on knocking on hundreds of doors and nobody comes to the door. And when you finally get someone to the door, your heart leaves. Yes, I get to talk to somebody. Hi, I'm from the Liberty View Baptist Church. I want to invite... Poof. Run away. We call it stash and dash. You put a stash and you put it and you stash it and you dash. But there's that one. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. You keep going. And I pray every time I go out, dear Lord, I'm doing your work. I'm out here serving you. And I pray, dear Lord, right now you'll touch my heart with the Holy Spirit of God and lead me to someone who you are already working on and have been working on, that the Holy Spirit is working on. And may we cross paths. And dear Lord, may I not be afraid to open up this little mouth of mine and start talking. Because we're supposed to go and tell. But discouragement will come. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Just chalk it off as another experience and keep on going. Chalk it off as another opportunity, another little bit of seed sown, another little peck on that hard ground, whatever the case may be, a hard nut to crack. You just keep cracking at it and keep going at it. Don't be dismayed. Just get determined with it. Just jump in it. And my friend, if you were in sports, you'd be determined. I'm going to hit that line and I'm going to go through that line no matter how many times you get knocked back down. You get back up and you keep going, because we need to keep going and keep fighting and keep serving and keep telling people about Jesus. Amen. And not be discouraged. Be not discouraged, he says, nor be dismayed. And I can see David looking at his son Solomon. He's giving him these things. And Solomon's, yeah, I know, Dad, I need to be strong. And yeah, I'll have courage, Dad, I will. And I'll do it, Dad, I'll do it. But yeah, I just don't know. I just feel like I just need more. And David turns to his deep down inside from his heart. He says now to Solomon, he says, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee till thou hast finished. David tells us, Solomon, look, I've told you my stories. I told you how I was when I was a young lad, that there was this big old giant that came. But before the giant came, there was a lion. And before the lion, there was a bear. Before that, my trust and faith in the Lord. So when these things happened before me, I trust in the Lord. And he gave me the strength to overcome. And I overcame. And I slew the bear. And I slew the lion. And when the giant came, I went to that brook. And I just grabbed 5 stones. I'm not going to talk about why 5 stones. But he grabbed 5 stones. And he put one little stone in and went to the sling. And the sling went round and round. You know the story. You know this one. And one little stone went into the sling. And the sling went round and round. Round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went into the air. And the giant came tumbling down. He said, God saw me through that. And you know about King Saul, how King Saul hunted me, but yet I would not lift up my sword against God's anointed. I won't do it. He even repented when he cut a piece of Saul's garment off. He repented, I'm sorry. But through the Psalms, we see where he gives praise unto the Lord, how God saw him through it. And even in his own sin with Bathsheba, he had gotten it right. He rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and he repented of it, and he wept over it. And, oh God, why are thou removed from me? And the Lord came in, and so now he looks at Solomon and says, Solomon, I give you all these things, just a little punch of encouragement, but here's the real crutch of it. He said, for the Lord God, even my God, he'll be with thee. He won't fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished. In church, I'm sure we can go around the whole auditorium and raise a hand and say, has God helped you through a time of trouble? Has God been good to you? Then you too can say, my God, the Lord my God, he would not leave thee nor forsake thee. And he's still with you until thou hast finished all the work for the building of the house of the Lord. Well, that's all good, Brother Holtzclaw. I like that. That's good. The Lord's going to be with me. But I need something physical. I need something real. I need some encouragement. Well, I'm glad you said so. Look at verse 21. So David tells Solomon, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. He says, you may not know what to do in the church, but I already got godly men ready to help you. In church, you already have a godly pastor that's ready to help you. All of God's people said, to ready to help you to finish all the service for the house of the Lord. And there shall be with thee, he says, all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. I'm sure there's at least one godly man in this church outside a pastor. I like to think so. I would say Jason, but I'm not quite sure. I got to pick on somebody, buddy. Since you're not the pastor, I'll pick on you. But can I tell you, you know who the godly men are, and you have them behind you to help you and to support you and encourage you. And if the pastor's not available for whatever reason, you've got these other men to come and help mentor you. But not only that, he says, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy command. He said, Solomon, the whole nation is behind you. And my friend, if you allow yourself to get on fire for the Lord, you allow yourself to surrender to do what God's asked you to do, you will have the whole body behind you. This young man that's been coming just recently, who just got saved in between services a couple weeks ago, has a desire to serve the Lord, keeps asking Pastor and Jason questions left and right, and praise God for it. There was a young man out of the tent meeting who had just gotten saved a couple months ago out of Brother Gilmore's church, who's asking question upon question upon question. And when pastor's not available, he's asking others. Because we together are one to encourage others to move forward in their Christian life and to move forward into faith, like you're doing with this young man who's coming next week, who's going to preach to you. Though young and naive at age and preaching abilities, but you're going to encourage him by letting him go. Amen. Somebody please tell him to be strong and be of good courage and do it. Right? So Solomon has all this going. So what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11. 2 Chronicles 7, 11. I want you to see how Solomon then finished. He finished it. He wasn't perfect, and he's not perfect. We know Solomon. He's definitely not perfect. But he finished the house. 2 Chronicles 7, 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. He didn't get all the good stuff for himself. He didn't spend all the kingly money on his own palace. Look at my palace. But look at the little dinky church I made for God. Not what he did. What he prosperously effected, all of it. All of it was given. The best was given. You can read about how it was built and all the good stuff that was brought in, the gold, the silver, and how it was refined and hammered and placed on things. And the seed, trees of cedar from Lebanon were shipped down to make this place solid. I can tell you something, the greatest thing is verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. And said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of what? Sacrifice. I don't know what preacher that's worth his weight in salt, even an ounce of salt, who doesn't want, first of all, the Lord to show up in every service, in every Bible study, in every fellowship. We want God to show up. Solomon prayed and prayed and prayed and sacrificed and sacrificed. He sacrificed a lot for this temple and the shedding of blood. And here the Lord comes and appears unto him. Oh, that we could have more meetings in churches where the Lord appears and comes unto us. Then he says unto them, I've heard thy prayer. I've heard thy prayer and I have accepted, he says. I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. Oh, that we would have churches again where people would come and sacrifice themselves upon the old-fashioned altar and saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. But first it takes us saying, Lord, this is your place. This is a holy place. Not so much the building itself, but when we gather together and we gather into the Word. Solomon finished, and he finished strong, and the Lord showed up. Can I show you another example in the Scriptures? Let's go to the New Testament. Over in the New Testament to John chapter number 4, verse 34. John 4, verse 34. While you're turning there, my friend, it is our turn to finish the house of the Lord. It is our turn to take up Elijah's mantle and finish the task. It is our turn to now take up our cross and follow Jesus. For Jesus is our example. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do of the will of him that sent me and to what, church? Finish his work. My job is to finish his work. John chapter 5, verse 36. John 5, 36. Jesus, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. How would people know that he was the Son of God? Because he is doing the works that his Father hath given him to do. And how do people know that you are a son of God or you are a daughter of God? But by the works your Father hath given you to finish. Are you doing the works your Father has given you to finish? It's quite a question that needs an answer between you and God. He says, they bear witness of me. John 17, verse 4. John 17, verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the garden before he's taken before Pilate and scourged. As he prays unto the Lord, verse number 4, he says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have what, church? Finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Chapter 19, verse 30. Chapter 19, verse 30. As we see Jesus upon the old rugged cross, Calvary to us is a celebrated word because that's where the payment was made and victory has come. But in Bible times, Calvary was a very evil death place. Only the Lord Jesus could turn that around. But there he is hanging on that old rugged cross. And it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, what, church? It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What is finished? I'll tell you what's finished. My sin debt was paid. My sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Grace had been given. All my sins have been forgiven. I have a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, and it's mine. Amen. Is it yours? I'm excited. I have the Holy Spirit now dwelling inside of me, the Spirit of God. And my friend, it is finished. I am free. I am made whole. When I was 11 years old in my front yard, where I bowed my head and on my knees, and I asked the Lord Jesus to come to my heart and Lord to save me and to take me to heaven when I die. For tonight, I wanted to give him my life. Because Jesus finished what he was called to do. One last passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read it. Just mention a few things about it and we'll close. Here the Apostle Paul, who points in these two verses that we all have a race to run and to finish. But how will you finish? And why would you finish? Paul tells us. He says here, for I am now ready to be offered. We believe that 2 Timothy is the last book he wrote. We believe that at this point in history that he was soon to be taken out and beheaded. History tells us. And Paul says, "For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." My friend, the Lord is ready for you. Are you ready for him? Are you ready for him? We have a race before us. We have a fight to contend with. And he says, because he has this, and he says, I've done it. I have finished. I have come to the end. And I've done all this henceforth. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Oh, my friend, by in salvation, I have a new name and glory. In salvation, I have a heavenly home. In salvation, I've got a robe of righteousness, which I get to wear now. Not mine, but the Lord Jesus, who paid my sin debt and made me whole. And my friend, now I have all these things already waiting for me in heaven. But my friend, the greatest thing that I can get is a crown. And there are specific crowns in the Bible. And my friend, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of watching for his coming, the soul winner's crown, there's a preacher's crown. And my friend, these crowns, I'm excited to get, and I'm excited to work for, and that's why I keep going and keep going and keep going. But not for me. Because he said there's a righteous judge. Who's going to give that crown? There's only one that can be that righteous. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. For there on that day, as the crown is given, the crowns are then of those who have received it will take it off and then turn and lay it at the Savior's feet. You see, we have a Savior. That's why we got to keep going. And be strong. And be of good courage. And do it. And there's a crown. And there's others. There's others that have gone before us. But there's also others that still need someone to come and tell them. Just like someone came and told you. Church tonight, let's finish strong. For the Lord Jesus Christ. With our heads bowed and eyes closed all across the auditorium. We have a race to run. We have a fight to fight. We have a church to serve. And to fill. Oh my friend. May we finish strong. Finish strong. I come to you tonight with both a challenge. But also the encouragement. Because you can. You can finish strong. But you must lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. So that now you can take up and run and go and do. Because you're now decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. So with our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, who would raise their hand and say, "Brother Holzclaw, I know that I'm saved. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I mean, I am 100% certain, positive in my heart, that if I were to die right now, that I'd be in heaven as a testimony unto the Lord." Would you raise your hand? I believe that. I know that I'm saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that's all. But I may have missed. But my friend, can I say, if you do not know, if you do not know for sure, can I encourage you to come see me or come see Pastor? Come tell somebody and be saved today. But church, Race Street Baptist Church, God's not done with you yet. There's still a lot of service yet to be done. There's still a lot of work to be done. Can I encourage you tonight to get up, knock the dust off, and finish strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're struggling with something, deal with it. If you need someone to pray with you about it, then get someone to pray with you about it. Tonight, can I encourage you to come to an old-fashioned altar and give it to the Lord again. And rededicate again. And recommit again. And go at it again. And be strong and have good courage. And do it. This pastor comes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We praise you. Pray, Lord, you lead us now in the time of invitation. And dear Lord, may we, us, the church, keep going and finish strong until our Lord and Savior comes. Lord, we love you. Lord, we praise you. We pray all this in Jesus' name.